Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
On The Advertising Show, so glad that you've had a chance to stop by this weekend with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit them online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com or in an elevator near you, or something like that. The Advertising Show is a big radio midgets production. We got a great guest this weekend. Not that we don't always have great guests, but first of all, the book is called Where's My 15 Minutes, okay? Howard Bragman, he's born in Flint, Michigan, on the West Coast now. That's where we're talking to him. But he's got a brand new book, 15 Minutes, and Where's My 15 Minutes? And basically, the whole title is Get Your Company, Your Cause, and Yourself with Recognition You Deserve. This is something cool. You don't have to be in business to be able to take advantage of something like this. You can use it personally as well. So we'll get a chance to learn more about Howard and about his book, too, here in just a few minutes. We've also got, momentarily, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, introducing Twitter to your clients. Say, hello, meet Twitter. Hi, Twitter. And a little bit later on in the show, the customer experience. Gene Bliss has put together a whole bunch of New Year's resolutions, okay? And this is called number one. It's a creative title, I know. So we're going to listen to New Year's Eve resolution number one. And, of course, Brad and I have made resolutions as well. We won't talk about those, though. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Of course.
But this past week has been, well, unbelievable. Would that be a good way to say it? They had a thing, by the way, Brad, from Google Earth, and they had the satellite shots of the White House area prior to all of the people coming to Washington, D.C., and then during the event, and it looked exactly like you did saw as a kid, a whole bunch of ants all over the ground. You saw thousands and thousands and thousands of people. First of all, it's amazing the clarity of a satellite from space that you can actually see people walking around from space. And secondly, that it was amazing, all the people. And they had that moving map thing that they made fun of on Saturday Night Live as well. It's pretty cool, though. So what a week.
Yeah.
Man, too bad we weren't there, huh? They lost my invitation. I don't know where in the heck it went. They said they sent it, but they lost it.
You know, it's interesting as we watch that. Traditional television coverage with all the technology and so forth has not changed in many, many years of how they cover the inauguration. But yet, I must say, Congressman, now White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, was caught on camera. I don't know if you saw this, giving a gesture known from generations of many, many generations ago that basically meant kiss my you-know-what. Hmm. And he was caught on camera doing this right in the middle of the, you know, being out there on the platform with prior to President Obama coming out. And I don't know. I just thought it was Emmanuel has always struck me, although, you know, setting aside his intelligence, and I'm sure he's a smart guy or he wouldn't be chief of staff, but he's always struck me as the type of guy that's like in your class, that he was the class cut-up, you know, the class clown. And
the guy that always got in
nothing
trouble.
Was really... Yeah. Nothing was really followed up on that by the media. Maybe all the better, because, you know, I think everything's positive with President Obama, and my goodness, looking for great things in 2009, I suppose, huh?
Man, I hope so. I don't think I'd want his job. They don't pay him enough. So hopefully things will go well. But it was interesting, too, to watch the changes with Clear Channel, the parent company of Clear Channel. Ironically, on Election Day, 1,850 positions, about 9% of the staff. What did they say? About 350 or 450 million saved in salaries. A lot of it in the lower performing sales arena. A lot of the jobs that, I don't want to say they were unnecessary, because obviously they had these positions in place, but a lot of the people who did some of the support staff and such are gone. And they chose Election Day, which I thought was kind of strange. I'm sure there's logic behind that. Maybe Howard can tell us if he understands that as well. But anyway, so Howard coming up here in just a moment. And right now, making way for Shamin Abbas on the Advertising Show.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Introducing Twitter to your clients. I have to say that many of our clients, with the exception of our ad agencies, have absolutely no idea what Twitter is. When we explain the basic concept as part of a deeper digital strategy, what we often get is a blank stare and a question along the lines of, what's this got to do with us? Twitter is a brilliant way for marketers to monitor the buzz generated by traditional and digital ad campaigns, and a great tool for gaining insight into the mind of your target consumer. By simply searching for a few relevant key terms, your team will see a wealth of tweets that can quickly determine how the public is receiving your message and what they are saying about a product in general. It's not statistically sound or scientifically based, but one thing we all know is that we need to be increasingly nimble and respond as quickly as possible to the collective reaction and the patterns of response. I've noted in other commentaries that today's consumer is vocal, connected, and looking to influence what you're offering them. Think of monitoring the tweets as a virtual survey of what's being said around the water cooler. And monitoring Twitter is only part of what we should be doing as part of our client strategy. We should be monitoring blogs, discussion boards, and review sites as well. This is the follow-up stage of any campaign and should be integrated into other analytical processes like traditional focus groups. And ultimately, we're all going to have to add this sort of cultural insight gathering into our client workloads so that we can deliver the best advice, the relevant insights, and the power to respond both online through Twitter, social media sites, message boards, and comment threads, and by actually modifying a product or service to best suit customers.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thank you, Shamin. Great to have you with us here in 2009 with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. Howard Bragman, out of California, is with us this weekend. And the book is called Where's My 15 Minutes? Get Your Company, Your Cause, or Yourself, The Recognition You Deserve, published by the Penguin Group. It contains insight and advice from Bragman's years in the business of PR, as well as accounts of his numerous experiences dealing with Hollywood celebrities and major corporations. So Howard on television, he's been a popular guest with some input as well, and Coulter, he commented on that debacle that happened on The View as well. We saw him there, too. So Howard joins us here in just a few moments with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show, by the way, powered by an incredibly cool marketing media platform. It's a web platform from Shipple. It's called Tendency, and if you want to check it out, it's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. At Shipple, and his crew do a great job of helping the Advertising Show promote itself as well, too. So stay with us here on the Advertising Show.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
You love double good.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe. Glad to have you here this week. Thanks for joining us. Where's my 15 minutes? Ricky Lake says, if you're not lucky enough to have Howard Bragman represent you, you should buy his book and take his advice. I do. That's good enough for me. How about Ed McMahon in Good Times and in Tough Times? Howard is the guy you want at your side. And it goes on and on here, too, including a quote from Howard Dean. You know him. Howard Bragman, it's so good to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and Ray and I were talking about your book, Howard, before going on the air today. And I got to tell you, we're both in agreement. It's a wonderful how-to business book with wonderful real-world examples from your career. And, we have a variety of listeners around the world listening to The Advertising Show from many walks of life, both on the client side and within the ad agency and marketing and media business. So tee it up for us, Howard. Who should be reading this book?
Anybody who wants to get to the next level should be reading this book, and in this economy, that's everyone, I think. The real premise is this. When I started in this business 30 years ago, public images were really reserved for actors and athletes and politicians and other true celebrities. And in this world of Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and iPhones, guess what? We all have a public image out there, and the premise is simple. If you don't define yourself, that doesn't mean you're not going to be defined. You're just not going to be defined in a way that's necessarily positive for you.
Yeah.
So what I'm really...
Go ahead.
No, what I'm really doing is encouraging people to really craft a vision and show them how to bring it to life. And so the book is for somebody who has a special talent, somebody who has a business, somebody who may be looking for a job, really anybody who wants to go to the next level, and that much more important in the economic crisis we're in right now.
Yeah, I'm curious. I would imagine that if you don't understand social media, new media, you learn the hard way, as you just described, that others will fashion and form an image for you and define your personality, your business, whatever the case may be. I'm curious, Howard, is there a greater demand for PR firms and publicists today than there were, say, 10, 15 years ago?
Well, yeah, it used to be, and I talk about this in the book, it used to be if you wanted to get your message out, you bought an ad on TV, and the simple statistic is this, I think, early days of, 15, 20 years ago, you could buy 3 network ads and reach 85% of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you have to buy 1,200 network ads to reach 85% of the audience. And guess what? There's certain segments of the population you're never going to reach through traditional media outlets. And one of my beliefs is, I've been doing this a long time, and I try and keep up with the new media and social networking, a lot of things going on. And it's hard for me, and I have a lot of empathy for the average guy in the street who says, how am I supposed to know what all this stuff is? And I've tried to open the door a little and say, here are some of the things you need to think about.
Yeah, and you've been handling both corporate as well as celebrities for many years. What is there a distinct difference between publicity efforts for corporate versus celebrity people?
Well, there is. The biggest thing with celebrities is twofold. One, you always got the human factor involved. And so the fact that I had a degree in psychology and journalism helped a lot in dealing with people and then the celebrity aspect. But the second thing is it's generally a little easier to get publicity for celebrities. If somebody's on a TV show or in a film or has an album coming out, there's just lots and lots of media outlets doing nothing but waiting to write about or do stories on your client. And I think there's a classic misnomer here, and people think because you may have an A celebrity, you must be a genius publicist. Guess what? A celebrity publicists spend a lot of time saying no. I'm really more impressed by publicists and PR people who are building careers, who are the ones who come in early in somebody's career and really craft it into something special. And I think that's the real challenge. And my very first job in PR in Chicago, we had a health club as a client. I think they were paying $1,000 or $1,500 a month in the old days. And we didn't have any budgets to do anything, and everything we got for them was pure creativity. And I was thinking, that was what a remarkable education, just to have to use your mind and see what kind of cleverness you could come up with in this world.
Yeah, and a great foundation for a great career, obviously. Do you think you really have to be a PR expert, Howard, to know that flying a private jet to D.C. to ask the feds for bailout money is not a wise choice of transportation?
That was really, unfortunately, one of the PR gaffes of the year. And it was funny, you know, because I do what I tell my clients not to do, which is read all the internet comments about me and my book and the criticisms. Somebody said, boy, this book, you know, I don't understand what the big deal is and why everybody's talking about it. It's just common sense. And I think we live in a time where sometimes common sense isn't as common. You know, you could be in a car company and you could say, of course our CEO has to fly in a private jet for security reasons, to save time, look at the number of people. But then there comes a time when you have to step back and go, I get it. Here's why it was a mistake. And guess what? They learned from their mistake. And as soon as they flew on a public jet like the rest of the world, they got their money.
You know, and think about it, if you were smart enough to realize that maybe truthfully it does save executives both time and thus money to fly private, if you would have flown commercial, you could have actually sat in front of the Senate committee there and said, hey, I didn't fly in on my private jet and these other clowns next to me did, and I just want to let you know we're doing a lot of effort at our company to make sure we start watching our money. So, yeah, I mean, they could have turned that into a positive.
Yeah, really. We're going to have to take a break here on the advertising show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Didn't they drive in some type of a hybrid car as well for one of their sessions? I believe they did.
Second time around, yeah.
Absolutely. So they tried to patch that up just a little bit. With Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe, and our special guest, Howard Bragman. The book is Where's My 15 Minutes? Get your company, your cause, or yourself the recognition you deserve. We'll be back with Howard in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days.
Glad you're here with us, Ray Shillings and Brent Forsythe on The Advertising Show. Larry King says, no one in the PR business other than Howard Bragman could have written this book. He makes things happen and he tells you how, which is good. And I think it's a wonderful book and it's a great title too. You know, we talked before about the Clear Channel layoffs being on election day, Howard. What's your take on that?
Well, we had in Hollywood, Warner Brothers last week also announced some 800 layoffs during the week. And we try and hide. If we know it's going to be a busy news day and we want to get bad news out there, that's when we do it. We often do it on a Friday afternoon after the markets have closed and after they're switching shifts at the media outlets so that we don't quite get as much attention. But I want to talk about something where it backfired recently, and that was when John Edwards acknowledged he had his little affair, if you remember that.
Yeah, right.
And it was so clear that he was trying to bury it that made him look like he was being evasive instead of owning the issue. And so you got to be really cautious. And You know, it's interesting. A PR person has multiple jobs. One is certainly to present your image to the public, but the other is to tell the client what they're stepping into, if you will. Mm. You know, you can't send somebody out there in the world without saying, hold on, this might not be a good idea for this particular reason. And you got to think about both sides of this. And if you don't, if you just say, here's what we're presenting to the world, you're only doing half your job.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right. And bearing bad news is not a difficult thing in a week like where we just came out of, but sometimes more challenging, I suppose, when you don't have that kind of activity happening. I'm curious, Howard, there have been times when certain public figures have been able to transcend media criticism. I'm curious, why do you think these individuals have been able to do this?
Well, one I think of who is recently unemployed to the joy of many is Vice President Dick Cheney. I don't think he cares, honestly. I think in his mind he's above simple things like public opinion. And I would argue he's not. I would argue that if you had public opinion on your side, that you would have gotten a little more done in office. But I think things were going downhill so badly for the administration in terms of public opinion that he just said, forget this. I don't care. And you know what's interesting? A lot of times people in a bad situation will call me up and say, hey, I need you to fix this. And guess what? I can't do magic. I can't always make something that's really bad into something really, really good. As I tell people, I'm a spin doctor, and sometimes the patient is terminal. I can help ease the pain. I can help give them a little more dignity. I can tell people what they're going to go through and what to expect as they go through it, but I can't always make it go away. And I guess the best example, I certainly don't agree with him politically, but I take nothing away from Karl Rove when it comes to managing image and his public relations skills. And, you know, guess what? The president left with 27% approval ratings. You know, sometimes the truth comes and bites you in the butt, no matter how good your PR person is.
And Cheney left in a wheelchair.
Exactly. Exactly.
Man.
I don't know. I'm not believing that the guy was packing his own moving boxes. I don't know about you guys, but it didn't ring true to me, okay?
Probably should have. Well, I was going to say Kennedy left on a gurney, but there was some compassion there for him as he went to the hospital. So, you know.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, they drove the other guy out the back door in a wheelchair. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how quickly the new is in and the old is done and gone.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. In the short time we have left in this segment, Howard, is there any appropriate time when it's the correct position to just outright lie to the media?
You know, I try not to lie to the media, but I would be lying if I said I didn't lie to the media. And about the only times that I will lie to the media is to protect the dignity of my client. And there's times when personal information is personal information. And I don't think it's anybody's business, but I don't always want to have that argument with the media. And so, again, I try not to, but you know, anybody in this world who tells you they don't lie is a liar. Okay, we all lie. If you know, your wife says to you, "Does this dress make me look fat?" We all know that you're not allowed to be honest. Okay,
that's not a fair question. That's absolutely not fair. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on the Advertising Show with Howard Bragman. The book is called "Where's My 15 Minutes? Get your company, your cause, or yourself the recognition you deserve." It's out there. It's Penguin, and we've got more of Howard in just 2 minutes. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million and a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads for four.
Not as easy to sell product or get the recognition you need these days, as Howard mentioned earlier here. Ray Shullins and Brad Forsyth with our special guest out of California. Howard Bragman is the author of a brand new book, Where's My 15 Minutes? Get Your Company, Your Cause, or Yourself the Recognition You Deserve. And by the way, mentioning the website here, where'sMy15minutes.com is where you can find out more about that as well. Well, welcome back to the show, Howard.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and by the way, my wife is a petite size 2, and she has occasionally asked me, does this bikini make my butt look big? And I always say, I cannot confirm or deny any of those. I basically smile and say, you got a really nice looking ass, honey. Anyway, which keeps me from really saying what she's asking me.
You know, she's going to slap you for that unless I edit this out, but I'm not going to, so too bad.
Howard, you provide four criteria, and I must say, before I ask you this question, we get a lot of books here in the Advertising Show, and some cover PR and publicity, but this is really a wonderful book. I'd like to encourage our listeners to check it out. Go to Amazon.com or your nearest bookstore and check this book out if you want to know anything and everything about PR. In your book, Howard, you mentioned four criteria that one must meet to determine if they want to make for a good candidate for a publicity campaign. You say, do you have the money? Does the offer make sense? Are you passionate about what you're doing? And finally, could this be a foot in the door to something greater? I want to circle back and talk about the importance of passion and how important you feel that is to creating a positive and, more importantly, a successful publicity campaign for your clients.
You know, we live in an era where people have watched TV and watched YouTube, and we have great, I think for lack of a better word, BS detectors, okay? And we have this ability to read when people are being honest and authentic and when they're not being honest and authentic. And it's almost something that we know how to do without knowing we know how to do it. But it's just by virtue of having consumed so much media in this world. And as a result of that, it's very important that you have this passion, that you tell the truth, because number one, you're not going to have fun doing your job if you don't like it, if you're not passionate about it. And number two, people are going to know. People's instincts are going to clearly tell you, hey, this guy isn't really liking it. He's trying to sell me a bill of goods. And we've all seen it. We've all seen the apology press conference that didn't quite work. We've all seen the guy pushing the product that he really didn't believe in it. And we can tell nowadays. And, you know, the last thing I want to say is it's obviously the economic times are challenging out there. And, you know, people go, what should I do career-wise? The economy's bad. And I think more than any other time, this is the time to take a risk and follow your passion, because the traditional ways you might go professionally are not necessarily available to you. So why not look at something different right now? And what could be better than following your passion? And I know I'm a lucky guy, because for 30 years I've gotten to do something I love. Yeah. And I can't imagine anybody having to go to work every day. And in this world, we all work, particularly in marketing, 10, 12, 14-hour days and on Blackberries day and night. I can't imagine doing something you don't love nowadays.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can coach your clients, but you can't coach passion. You either have it or you don't, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, in your book, you say it's all about finding one's place in pop culture. Explain what you mean by that, Howard.
Well, you know, we used to call it in advertising, it used to be called positioning. You need to know what you're selling. If you can't define what it is you're selling in a sentence or two, then the world, when you go on Jay Leno, probably isn't going to get what you're selling. And a lot of times I'll do media coaching for people when they're selling a movie. And we've all had the experience that we've been watching late night TV and we'll see an actor or an actress on TV and Jay or David or Jimmy will go, "Hey, so you're in this new movie, tell me about it." And they'll go, "Well, it's the story of a guy and there's this girl and they meet in high school," and by that time you're drifting off and you've closed your eyes and hoping the timer will turn your TV off because they've lost you. And what you need to say is, it's a love story about two people who meet in high school and find true love later in life. You have to be able to define it simply, clearly, messaging, because we're not very patient. We don't have a lot of time, and sound bites last about 6 seconds now, whereas they used to go about 15 or 20 seconds you could be on TV explaining your position, and you have to be aware of this.
And when you're a letterman, you only have one guest. If they bomb, that's just not good, because all you have left is the band after
and
that.
Guess what? You're not coming back necessarily. Yeah. Everybody in our business and in the booking business knows who the good guests are, who the bad guests are, and who's going to get the time and who's not coming back.
Well, Howard, it's obvious that you are indeed doing something you truly enjoy, not only for the past 30 years, but with this brand new book, Where's My 15 Minutes? Get your company, your cause, or yourself the recognition you deserve. Go out and get the book and get famous. Get your own 15 minutes, huh? Howard, continued success and best of luck as you move into 09 here. It sounds like you've got a great plan.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Brad. I really appreciate the time, and I hope we can help a few people. That would be great.
On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, back in just a minute.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas. This is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world. Waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a new corporate identity ASAP and on a tight budget, they got the impossible. 170 creative solutions to the client in just 24 hours, from brief to deadline. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put it to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. And what have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
You taste 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. Hawaiian punch is
this the Advertising Show. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. What a great guest. Taste. Howard Bragman, Where's My 15 Minutes? Where's My 15 Minutes.com is the place you'll find that as well. So next week, let's see who we have here. The author of Happy Soul Industry. Also the chairman and chief creative officer of Euro RSCG in Chicago. His name is Stefan Poster. Poster? Is that the way you
Poster.
Say that? Poster.
We'll get that next week.
I suppose he'd appreciate the fact that we pronounced his name right there.
I think that's...
Hey, listen, listening to the inauguration at the office here, so this past week online... Man,
Obama-Orama?
Yeah, exactly. I was online, and I decided to get offline for a moment, and then I tried to get back on, and I couldn't. Basically, an inauguration defined by a sense of change, the experience of watching Barack take office was fittingly revolutionary, according to the Associated Press. Americans watched the inauguration like never before, online, through live video streaming. Essentially every major news outlet offered live feeds on their respective websites. It was also a notable benchmark in the fast evolution of online video at the time of the last inauguration. YouTube did not exist. Isn't that interesting? The major news portals were Yahoo, CNN, MSNBC, AOL. I went to a website because I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, so I went to this TV station in Cleveland and was able to get on there and watch it there. So, but what an incredible use of the web for marketing, Barack, and secondly, you know, look what happened. I mean, this is not the first time, Brad. Obviously, many years ago, we were watching here at the office in 2001 on September 11th. We were watching the live coverage of the unfortunate occurrences in New York City and Washington. But you know, I would assume that more people were watching it online than were on television. I could be wrong.
I think that's probably a good guess.
Yeah. Let's go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then we'll get to Gene Bliss in here in just a moment. Go ahead, though.
Well, I was just going to mention. Go ahead and get Gene in. I'll save it for after.
Oh, Gene, come on in. Gee, I wish I had a door sound effects now. Gene Bliss, customer experience, New Year's resolution number one. Here we go.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
With a series of New Year's resolutions for 2009, resolution number one, commit to call one customer per month. Now that's easy. If you are not in sales, then it's likely that it's been a long time since you've spoken to one of your customers. Ask your database folks or customer service to identify a customer who has either complained or left your company. Then with hat in hand, call, apologize, and ask what went wrong. The most important thing for you to do is listen. Do not give explanations for what went wrong. Customers will respond to your humanity. And if you fix or improve something that your customer identifies, follow up to let your customer know progress has been made. It's likely your customer will reconsider trying you again.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
That's Gene Bliss with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. Gene, thanks for sticking around in 09. We appreciate that. And it's great to have you as part of the show. You were going to start to say something there before.
Yeah, you know, there's been a few articles out mentioning how marketers running ads in this year's Super Bowl sure should take extra care to make sure that their spots are memorable, since customers, viewers and consumers are less likely to recall the big games commercials during these bad economic times. But to me, that struck me as strange. I mean, if you're going to pay $2-3 million,
you better damn well be sure that your commercial is good and memorable, huh?
Regardless of the economy. I mean, come on. Well, am I missing something here, Ray?
No, I saw that article and I almost printed it out too to read and was like, you've got to be kidding me. Make sure your commercials are really good because people are a little bit upset with the economy. Well,
yeah,
first of all, the people who are placing the commercials have agencies that have a little bit more of the foresight as far as the reason for them being on the big game. So,
if you're running an easygoing, not get out and grab you humorous spot that you know people are watching the Super Bowl in many cases just to see the commercials, if you don't understand the venue that you're in and you're not putting your absolute best foot forward, not to mention the cost of the media exposure. I mean, you just totally, you shouldn't be there. I mean, I don't
that
know
sounds
why they
to
waste
me,
the space.
I don't want to badger the person who wrote the article or anything, but it sounds to me like they needed to fill up something there. And
well, it was based on some research that came out, and I'm not going to mention the research company, but you know, it was just a way of trying to get some ink on who the research company was, and I guess maybe a slow news day for the industry trade.
Yes, there's an accident at Fifth and Main, and we better get on that. Did you know that Google grabbed most of Obama's dollars for the campaign? $16 million bucks in online advertising. $16 million that Google took home.
As far as online dollars, yes.
Online dollars, exactly. So that's basically Let's see, 45% of the campaign's digital ad spending, according to the Federal Election Commission reports. And they keep good records, so we'll have to trust them as well. So next week, we've got a great show. We're actually just about out of time here. Next week, it's Stefan Poster, or something like that, author of Happy Soul Industry. And we'll talk to Stefan in next week's show. Hope you can join us. Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at edge.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Tell a friend to listen in. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.